Alison Thompson. Welcome to Conversations with Authors. My guest today is novelist Madeleine Morgan. Madeleine grew up in Lutterworth in Leicestershire and had a long career as an actor before turning her creative hand to writing. Her books Foxton Acres and Applause are part of a series of books following the lives of four sisters during World War II, and they've been a huge success. During our conversation, Madeleine talks about what inspired her to write the books and what the future holds for the Dudley sisters, and she also has some good advice for anyone interested in self-publishing. So sit back and enjoy the conversation. So hello, Madeleine. Hi.
Hello, Alison. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Now, I know that you've published two books so far, haven't you? You've published Foxton Acres in 2013 and Applause has just come out this year. So what inspired you to start writing?
Well, a combination of things. I had my heart broken, not for the first time, in the 90s, and I really couldn't get over it. It was quite an unpleasant time, and a friend of mine who was absolutely sick of me going on about it said, oh, for Christ's sake, write it down. Exercise this. And I did, as I was writing it, I kind of began to fictionalise it, and I really began to enjoy it.
Hmm.
A little later, I was out of work as an actress. You know, I was an actress for about 35 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And I'd given up acting for love, actually, and then love gave me up. But that's not really the truth. When you get to about 50, you start getting less and less and less work as an actress. If you're not already there, if you haven't already decided, then you get less work. And I was doing a temp job that had become full-time. They'd asked me to go full-time. And I needed something artistic to do. And so I started a writing course. I did, I don't know whether I'm able to say, it was out of Manchester.
Okay.
A correspondence course. And I really loved it. I couldn't believe that I could actually do certain things. And at the same time, my mum wanted to give a brass aeroplane back to a Polish pilot that had made it for her in the Second World War.
Mm.
He stayed with the family when they crash landed. And my granddad was an ARP person, and they the local aerodrome, the RAF place, said, could you take somebody in the village each take a Polish pilot? My granddad said yes, and they took this Jack Franick. Well, he was sweet on mother, and he made this aeroplane. She wasn't sweet on him,
mm-hmm.
but it had stood in our hearth by the fire ever since I could remember. I think it was the only thing my dad allowed mum to keep from her youth. Anyway, cut a long story short, she said she'd like to give it him back. Well, he died, but I found his son and arranged for the son to come up, and our mum was over the moon, and he was going to use a plane because his father had divorced, and so the second family got all his dad's medals and stuff. So the only son, the first one, was delighted to have the plane. So
he was, yeah.
At this time, I got as far in the writing course as biography. My mum had had a pretty interesting life, so I wrote her biography, and they said it was really good. They really enjoyed it. However, nobody knew me, nobody knows her. Turn it into a fiction. I didn't actually turn her biography into a fiction, but I used to tape her and talk about the war with her, and I ended up with four novels, the plots for four novels.
Wow. So are your novels rooted in reality to an extent then?
No.
Okay.
Pure fiction. However, every single thing that happened in them is true. It has happened. I originally started off with my mum and her three sisters. But to be really honest with you, that was only to give myself names. So now it's nothing to do with my mum and her three sisters at all. They're all individual. They're all individual plot lines. But they're all rooted in the Second World War. They're all rooted in truth and fact.
Okay.
Although they're completely fictional. Does that make sense?
So they're taking things that really happened to a whole lot of people and then putting them into one story.
I'm fictionalising what happened. It's all based on truth. And when you write something, as you know yourself as a writer, You write something in a specific time. We all know what happened in 1939. We all know September the 1st, the Germans went into Poland. We all know that England went in on the 3rd of September. We all know when D-Day, we all know all those dates. So what I've done is I've created characters that were doing what they were doing within those dates. So the first one is Foxnated set on the land. And so when the Ministry of Agriculture said to the estates, to the lords and ladies and what have you, you now have to have your land turned into arable land, that is what Bess comes back to do. From being a school teacher, she loses her job as a school teacher because the children are evacuated. And so that part is fact. Those dates, those times all tie up and they're all facts.
It's something that I would never have thought about, but yes, there's no children in London, so what happens to the teachers? Yeah, it's not something I'd have thought of. But thinking about it now, I can see that, yes, there must have been that happening to people at that time.
Yeah, so my first heroine, Beth, she was a teacher. She was born in the country and brought up on the estate as a groom's daughter. They lived in an estate cottage. She came back, she ran the estate, she turned it into arable land with an army of land girls, and I don't want to tell you the end of it, but it's a love story. Well, you know it, because I'm going to get to you later.
Yeah, it is a love story. It's a lovely love story. It really is, and it made me cry more than once. But I think, don't give away the plot, people should go out and buy it.
Yeah,
and so that's Foxton Acres. Do you want to just summarise Applause for us, which is the second in the series?
Yeah, I decided to. A lot of people enjoyed Foxton Acres and were saying to me, and I was a bit naughty really, were saying to me, when's the second one? And I'm thinking, oh, let's do it. Well, that's the wrong reason to do it, because you get very, very stressed. You have to work far too many hours. But I was an actress for 35 years in London, so I know the West End, and I lived there as well. So, and I know the West End very, very well. It's about blind ambition. The second sister, Margaret, her husband in the MOD in London, she comes down, lives there, and gets a job as an usherette, and she climbs her way to the talk of the town. I can tell you that everywhere is authentic in that, because I worked on the Strand at the Vaudeville Theatre, and the backstage area is the Haymarket, the Theatre Royal in the Haymarket, where I also did a Shakespeare season.
Oh, okay.
So that's all authentic. And of course, what happens is, the four sisters are set up in the first novel, Foxton Acres. So what happens with Margot, she becomes Margot, in the second novel, has to timeline with the Second World War and the Blitz and everything that was happening in the Second World War, and with Foxton Acres, with her sister. But they both stand alone.
I was talking to a friend about them recently, and she said, oh, well, yeah, I've read these books, but I read Applause first, and I think I shouldn't have done. And I said, no, I think actually they are standalone novels, and yeah, they work perfectly well in their own right. And yes, you might get a little bit more reading them in order, but they work perfectly well on their own, I think. Yeah,
I did my best to do that, because But funnily enough, you know, best selling at equal. In fact, I think Foxnated has sold one more from the first of the month to now. They are selling equally. Yeah, people are perhaps saying we should perhaps read Foxnated first. And when you download on Kindle, it's not expensive. So they're doing really well, and I'm ever so chuffed.
That's really good. That's really good to hear that they're doing well. So what did you learn during the writing process? Because I know that Applause has only taken you, well, it's taken you less than a year to write, hasn't it, from when Foxton Acres was finished. So what have you learned during the writing process?
I learned a lot. Masses. Well, never be flattered into saying you're going to do another novel and it'll come out on the anniversary of the first, for a start. No, the truth is I had plotted and written the chapters and got quite a bit of Applause done in the 6 months before. What happened was, when Foxton Acres was launched, 6 months before Foxton Acres was launched, I went off to Carleon to do the writer's school. I had already started it. A literary agent had said she wanted Foxton Acres. I came back from Carleon having written the bare bones while I was there of Applause.
Okay.
After about 15,000 words. and I knew what I was going to be doing. And I got back to a phone call saying, I want Boxer Naked, and I, this is a direct quote, love it, want it, fast track it. So you can imagine, yeah, absolutely. Can you imagine a literary agent saying that to you? Not in my dreams, could I? But anyway, wow, yes, send it. So send the first three chapters. She said she loved it, send the rest. I sent the rest. 6 months later, she'd forgotten me.
Oh.
I had a hard time in that 6 months getting it together. Well, I didn't know whether she'd forgotten me, but she was quite unpleasant when I rang her. But I'd held Fox Naked back. And I'd held Fox Naked back, and what I'd also done is I kind of like couldn't get it together to do applause. I was too wound up for a lot of time. What I did then was I thought, blow it. I'll just sit back and wait. Let's get on with applause, which I did.
Mm.
So I was really writing it for 18 months. But what I learned is don't ever think anything's a done deal. A done deal with writing, because it's not. Even if somebody does want to love it and fast track it,
always be on your guard for the unexpected.
Oh gosh, yes, never, never. But it's the same as acting for me. You see, the writing process. When I get a character, when I was an actress, I was a method actress, and it would all happen with the character would be how I learned the lines. I would get to know the character first. I'd wear her shoes. Shoes are great things. And my characters had to be believable. It's when you go to the theatre and you say, well, I didn't really enjoy that. I didn't like that actor. The reason you don't like him is because you don't believe him. You don't know why you don't like that actor, but you don't believe him because he's not believable. He doesn't come in. And that's the same with my writing process. They have to be believable, my characters. I walk in their shoes. I really do. I am all of them. I am all of them. And if I find a character I'm not, I can't be her, then it's not working. I was Molly, the young girl in Fox and Naked. I was Bess. I was Annabelle. I was them all. I am Margot, you know, and at the moment I am Claire in China Blue. And I feel their feelings. I've had myself tied up. I've never been raped, thank God, and please Lord, I never am. But when in the rape scene in Fox and Acres, I literally wouldn't let go of my hands. I clapped my hands behind my back and I wouldn't let go of them. And I worked out how it would happen.
Right. Wow. When you talk about method acting, yes, that's method writing. I never knew there was such a thing.
Well, it's the only way I can do it. Yeah, it was awful. It was very traumatic and I cried a lot after it. But honestly, people will think I'm mad, but that's how I do it. And you ask me the question, and yet I walk in their shoes as much as I can.
Yeah, well, that really comes across in the books because, the books that touch me are the ones where I feel I know the characters. And I guess to be able to write a character that people will know, you have to know the character inside out yourself. So it makes perfect sense.
Well, if I don't believe in them, how am I going to expect you to believe in them?
Exactly, yes. Well, that really does come across. I think you've succeeded in that, I think I can honestly say. So how did you get your books published?
Well, as I say, when I phoned up this literary agent and said, oh, hello, you know, it was getting near Christmas, and I said, I was wondering, I said, it's Madeline Trudell. I said to her, it's Madeline Morgan here, and she went, Trudell. And I said, pardon? She said, Trudell, that's what's on your email. I said, oh, I beg your pardon. I said, no, it says Madeline Morgan Trudell. That's because Morgan is my stage name. She said, and I said, Trudell is, you know, when I do out of work for earning money. Oh, thank God you're not one of these people that have a private income. I can't bear. And she went off into reams of this. So when she, I'm not exaggerating, darling. I'm telling you the truth. When she came back, she said, what are you ringing for? I said, well, you love Fox and Acres. Oh, yeah. Now, what was it about the main character I didn't really like? I wasn't convinced by Beth. Rewrite the first three chapters and send them again.
After telling you to fast track it.
I said, thank you very much. Bye-bye. And I self-published.
Good for you.
If it was good enough for her 6 months previous. Honest to God, and I self-published. But before I self-published, I was very wise. I had a professional proofreader proofread it.
Good.
And am I allowed to say that was you?
You can say that was me if you like, yeah.
Yes, well, of course, because my advice to anybody is, if you are going to self-publish, you have to get a professional proofreader, and you have to, if you cannot upload it yourself, or you don't feel sure, get it professionally uploaded as well.
Yeah, I would agree completely. And also cover design as well. I think it's really important to get a proper cover design and not knock something together in Word, which I saw somebody do once.
Absolutely. I maintain this, that my book is as well produced as any book on W.H. Smith or Waterstone shelves. Now, that cost, without a literary agent and an editor and what have you, that cost me, and a publisher, that cost me money.
Mm.
But if I'm going to put my work out there and my name behind it, why am I going to have people not want to read it because it's rubbish? I want it to look professional, and I want it to sound professional when people read it.
No,
and I think after having it proofread, having it professionally uploaded, I designed both covers for both of my books, but I sent them to a pro because I couldn't get rid of the photograph edges.
Right, yeah. So the concept was yours, but you got somebody to do the actual technical tidying it up.
I sent the photograph. I sent the book cover that I'd done and said, can you make this professional, please?
Right, yeah.
And in applause, the three photographs on the front, I bought one from Getty, which is very expensive, but to me it said the three girls that go and do ENSA are dressed up smart for a first night. Because there are three lovely girls in it. The photograph of the little girl is Margaret when she was a child because she used to do dancing. That photograph is my best friend and actress in London, Janie's mum, when she was 8 years old. And the photograph of Margot, perhaps after she's finished in the West End, that finished dancing with the black hat, is me in the Mousetrap in 1980.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I shall go back and look at the cover now. I didn't realise you were on it.
Well, I wanted... a real photograph to go with the other two real photographs. Yeah, and I thought, well, that was late 1930s. That will be fine because I like that, and I like the blitz behind the St. Paul's and the red curtains. I knew exactly what I wanted, and this amazing Avalon Graphics. You know, this amazing woman I worked with, Kathy Helms. She was brilliant. And I said, do you mind doing what I'm asking? And she said, no. To have an author that knows what they want is so much better than having somebody that doesn't know what they want, but you keep creating for, and perhaps it isn't right. And she loved it, and we worked so well together. And what she came up with in the end was just, it was mind-blowing.
Okay, yeah, it is a fantastic cover. But yeah. That's really, really sort of quite good news for anyone writing a book at the minute. Don't be afraid of having your own ideas about the cover. Don't think you have to hand that over to someone else. And if you've got a picture in your head, go with it, because you know your book better than anyone else, don't you?
Yes. I sent her a brief outline of what the book was as well. Yeah, and she was brilliant, you know. And so was the other chap that did Fox and Acres, but he didn't have to do the work. You know, I have to say that finding Kathy Helms was a godsend at Avalon Graphics. Yeah, she's brilliant.
Okay, so. I shall make a note of her name for future reference.
Yeah.
You said you self-published the books. Mm. How did you go about doing that? Because there are different sort of platforms to self-publish with.
As I said, before I self-published, I had them made, I had them it professionally done, so that, you know, anybody buying the book wouldn't be disappointed with myself and with Rebecca Emin uploading and the professional book cover and everything. The first time I did it, I'd been to a talk on Lulu. And so I asked Rebecca to upload it onto Lulu. And that was a mistake because, only my opinion, because Lulu is fantastic. The production, the quality is fantastic, but they are expensive. So if you're trying to, so what I've done with Fox and Acres is, I've sold about 100 books. I've had 2,000 downloads.
Wow, that's brilliant.
Yes, I'm lucky. Gosh, I'm lucky. But I've only sold about 100 books. But that 100 books I've lost money on because for me to buy them, they're about £8. And so with post and postage, I sell them for £8.99 because that's competitive. If there's two good books and you don't know which one to have, and one is £10.99, it's a Lulu book, and the other is a Create Space at £8.99, and you don't know either authors, you're going to go for the $8.99, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah. How do the CreateSpace paperbacks compare in quality with the Lulu ones?
Fabulous.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah. Oh, no, fabulous. The other mistake I made with Lulu was I had a larger book. With CreateSpace, I've had a 5x8, and so it fits onto the bookshelf with all the other books. I didn't know when I first did Foxinated. Foxinated is also out now at £8.99 because it's with CreateSpace as well. CreateSpace is terrific. I had cream paper and I had black print. Oh, and it's absolutely amazing. It's lovely. Very, very good quality. Very good. Very happy with it.
Oh, that's really good to hear. So you would recommend, you know, other people looking to get their book printed would go with CreateSpace?
Yes, personally I would. I only know Lulu and their quality is excellent, don't get me wrong, and so is CreateSpace, but CreateSpace is a little cheaper. And I think in this competitive world, and none of us are rich, we all want something that's just as good, and if it's less money, that's a bonus, isn't it?
Yeah, no, definitely. So since publishing the two books, have any exciting things happened as a result?
Yes, lots of wonderful things. Firstly, self-publishing is very satisfying. It gives you confidence because you can actually watch the sales. It gives you confidence that people are reading your book. You can see the reviews. They're enjoying it. It's very empowering to self-publish. It's so satisfying and it gives you confidence. And with Applause, I didn't even try for it. I had two literary agents that said, oh, by the way, could we see Applause, Benny? I didn't even try for them because I thought, no, you know, I'm going to do it myself. There's book signings. Just the other day, I was in the local garden centre and they're doing a charity for Loros at the beginning of August. And one of the ladies says, oh, you're a local author, aren't you? I said, yeah. She said, do you write in the Second World War? I said, yes. She said, well, we're doing a charity for Loros at the First World War. But there's not many people around that know it, and we thought we might spread it into the two wars. Would you come and do a book signing?
Oh.
I thought, well, a fancy, well, no. So she said, and how much would we have to pay you? I said, you wouldn't have to pay me anything. I'd be delighted. And for every book I sell, because if I sell them at $8.99. I can afford to give them a pound. I don't, you know, you don't make any profit out of the books. It's downloads you make them. The downloads cover the books. And so I'm going to go along 3 afternoons and I can have my lunch and, and do a book signing. And that's great as well. And the Women's Institute, because of my local girl, asked me to go and do, they asked me to go and talk about my acting career. And then they asked me to do stand-up and I've got to do stand-up this month. Oh, I know. I know, please. Well, you've got to remember when you self-publish, it takes such a long time. Every day is quite a lot of time spent in Twitter and tweeting people and what have you, because everybody is marvellous and they tweet your books and you tweet their books and your friendship, it grows and you spend quite a lot of time. But another fantastic thing is I've had Gary Walker, it's called Look for Books. And I'm on his Look for Books. And he's made me a couple of posters. So Applause is on a 1930s theatre wall, a poster of it.
Oh.
I mean, it isn't, but it is, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
And it's also looking straight up Shaftesbury Avenue. You can see on one theatre notice board, Applause, not opposite on another theatre notice board in 1939, Fox and Acres. All these things. People see it, they publish that, you publish it, people tweet it, you tweet them, you go to people's, your other people's virtual launches, I give books away as gifts and things like that. But it's all getting your name out there when you're a new author. And now I have a huge following.
That's
of people
fantastic.
Who are interested in my books and interested in what's happening, you know. It's fantastic.
And presumably, I know that the two that are out are part of a series of four, aren't they? So you've got that captive audience already who are presumably waiting for the next book to come out.
Yes. I'm working on the next one at the moment. It's called China Blue, and it is a love story, and it's set in France for the French Resistance and the SOE, the Special Operations Executive. Yeah, and so in Foxinators, the Polish guy taught Claire, some German and some Polish. And when she joined the Wrens, they looked into this and she learned French. They asked her to learn French. She has an ear for languages and she eventually joins the SOE and she goes out to France, parachutes in and what have you. And so that novel has got the SOE, it's got the RAF, French Resistance and Gestapo.
Fantastic. That sounds... My grandmother and her siblings grew up in France, and because they all spoke fluid French, obviously, and her brother was actually part of the SOE and never spoke about it other than he'd been involved. And he broke an ankle being parachuted into France, and that's all I know. So that will be. I will be personally interested in reading that to find out a bit more about it.
It's fascinating stuff. But that is going to be a lot of research, and it's not going to matter how many people say, when's the next book? I'm not having a deadline till I've got it in my hands. You'll be reading it first as proofreader.
Excellent. The perks of the job, definitely. So that's the third. What are the plans for the fourth one? Can you tell me?
Bletchley Secret.
That's a secret. Okay.
Yeah, Bletchley Secret. And I'm calling her Ina after my mother. Mm. And this will have some of Mother's story in it.
Okay.
My mother wasn't at Bletchley. It is pure fiction, but it will have some of my mother's story involved in it. Mum was in a factory in Lutterworth, which is Lower in Foxham Acres and Lower in of course.
Right.
And she used to make tiny, tiny, tiny spot welding things for machinery, and they didn't know where it went. So in my novel, it's gone to Bletchley. Yeah, she also used to degrease magnetos as well, which men didn't want to do because it was a very a nasty acid job and very and poisonous and all this. But anyway, so I'm building that around that. But the fifth book, and these are the four sisters, but there's going to be a tie-up book.
Ah,
oh, yeah. Right. So there's going to be a fifth book, and it's going to bring all the sisters together with the lovely Goldman from the theatre in London, and a couple of the girls that worked with Margot in London, the showgirls, and perhaps one of the land girls has stayed behind, or she's got married to a local farmer. We're not sure. Everybody will be brought together on New Year's Eve, 1948. 10 years previously, Foxton Acres opened on New Year's Eve, 1938. So what's going to happen is the land has been sold off, the Foxtons have moved, Bess has put back the gardens and the parkland and the lovely lake, and it's all as it was before the Second World War. And on the night of the opening, New Year's Eve, everybody's there, and there's going to be somebody there that will get his comeuppance.
That sounds fantastic. I can't wait to read that one. Wow. That sounds like the perfect way to end the series.
Yeah, I thought it needed something to, I don't know, I had no choice. I'm one of these people that keeps coming into my head, so it wakes me up in the night. So once I get it written, the plot written down, then it doesn't wake me up anymore, you know.
Okay, and then you've got the book there to write, yeah.
Oh,
so before we finish, I just want to find out, what sort of tips or advice would you want to pass on to other aspiring authors, either about writing or about publishing or anything about the whole sort of job of being an author?
The job of being an author. Well, people think it's easy. It's not. You and I might speak in a conversation 5,000 words. There's only going to be 1,500 of that interesting enough to actually have on paper and read. So I really think that before anybody sets about writing, if they really want to do it, they should do a writing course. Now, whether it's a local college course, they do need to have a smattering of grammar, which I really didn't have. My grammar is very old, old-fashioned. I would say do a writing course, because everybody can write, but not everybody can write interesting enough for somebody to want to read. I would also say read, read, and read. And now when people said that to me before, I think, who wants to keep reading? I want to write. But you must read. And you must read better writers than yourself. And when you start, that's not difficult. But what I mean is, don't read your mate's books. Read books that you're going to learn from. style and language and what have you, because the more you read, the better a writer you'll be. And it sounds odd, doesn't it? Because you're not nicking stuff. It's not plagiarism. It isn't stealing anything. It's basically getting it into the mindset of being able to write in such a way that people want to read you. The only thing is about reading writers that aren't good, and there are writers that aren't, books out there that aren't well written, is you pick up bad habits. And like, I didn't know the difference when I started writing between good writing and bad writing. I was in awe of everything and everybody. But you can pick up bad habits if you're not reading good stuff. The other thing is self-publishing. Make sure if you're going to self-publish, you have a professional proofreader and you have a professional uploader, if you formatter, if you can't do it yourself. Now, I thought I'd proofread Fox and Acres brilliant, Applause brilliantly. And then somebody said to me, well, did you know you spelt Margaret two different ways?
Yeah, no, it's impossible to spot your own things, is it? It's impossible to proofread your own writing.
And when I looked through it again, there were so many errors. I thought, right, straight to the proof fairy then. I thought I might have learned enough not to need you, to be honest. Rubbish. Get a professional proofreader every time and get a professional formatter, because there's nothing worse than opening it, say, oh, open the book and read here. Oh, click, click, lovely. And then the formatting here, there and everywhere puts me off immediately. So make sure your book is as good as a book on the shelves of W.H. Smith. Get yourself that book cover, a fabulous catchy book cover. You need a good title, and I do believe in one or two words. I'm not long titles, don't do it. Don't do it for me personally. Somebody said, and I can't remember who it was now, the best thing about self-publishing is anybody can do it. And the worst thing about self-publishing is
everybody can do it.
Anybody can do it.
Yes.
You have got to look at it in a professional way. You won't make any money because you'll be paying the professionals, but it doesn't matter. Look at it in a professional way and be proud of that book you got out there, because it's years of your life. Fox and Acres was about 6 years of my life. Applause was 18 months of my life. It ain't a baby. Get it out there and get people reading it. You know, let it go. Get it out there, but get it out there and make it the best you can.
That is fantastic advice. I think that's a really good place to stop. Get it out there and make it look the best you can. That's brilliant. Madeline Morgan, thank you very much for your time today.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. I thought to myself, oh gosh, I'm going to be all nervous. But tell you the truth, I've enjoyed it so much. Thank you very much, Alison.
No, thank you. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. If you'd like to find out more about Madeline Morgan and her Dudley Sisters series of books, have a look at www.madelinemorgan.com. That's MadelineMorgan.com. Or search on Amazon for Madeline Morgan to buy them. To hear more conversations with authors, visit theprooffairy.com/conversations. That's theprooffairy.com/conversations. This has been a Proof Fairy production. I'm Alison Thompson, and I'll be back soon with another Conversations with Authors podcast. Bye for now.